on today's Living in Las Vegas. Okay, so I've invited several people to join me about this topic. And while a lot of folks have strong opinions about what I want to talk about today, no one really wants to be on the record. Shocking. Here's why. What we're going to talk about today is marketing mistakes made by Las Vegas casinos, the entertainment edition. I have seen these guys do things that I just can't figure out, so we're going to kind of talk that through. If we have time, we'll do real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, but for sure, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast, which is brought to you by the letter Q. Let's get started. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does.
Wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
And now your host,
yes.
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, you're very kind. And hey, let me be the first to congratulate you because you are listening to or watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means we're not only going to talk about what it's like to live here, but we're going to talk about adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, well, guess what? This show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy happening in this town. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. That's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Hey, listen, come in here, be a part of the fun. Some of the coolest people you meet, and I'm not just, this is not hyperbole. These are some really cool people who are hanging out in the live chat. And this is a worldwide play. We've got people in Florida, in Vegas, Portland, Pittsburgh, Wisconsin, Michigan, Chicago, Austin, Phoenix. They're everywhere. And the cool part is, besides knowing each other and playing along, they're a part of the show. They absolutely have effect with the way the show goes. So get in here, 7 o'clock, every Tuesday night, Pacific, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network, so... thank you. Been an online broadcaster for 10 years now. By the way, I really do mean the thank you. I want to thank you for, A, watching the show and supporting the Vegas Video Network, both my show, but the other shows on the network. This is a new thing for a lot of people, this podcasting thing, this online broadcasting thing. We're breaking down barriers. This is the new way to communicate with folks. It's much more immediate, much more close to the audience, and it's pretty cool. So I hope that you'll continue to support us, and I appreciate that you do support us. Okay, over and under today, we're going to do 75 and a hook, kind of what we normally do when I do a show by myself. And so let us begin the show. So, marketing mistakes made by Las Vegas casinos, the entertainment edition. Here's the thing. If you are in Las Vegas or if you follow Las Vegas, you will know that in the last week or so, just a boatload of shows have been canceled. So, for example, Jersey Boys at Paris, gone. Raiding the Rock Vault at Trop, gone. Matt Goss at Caesars, leaving. Showstoppers, a win, gone. Frankie Moreno, Planet Hollywood, gone. Absence at Caesars, they're leaving and moving to some other location. So if you are in the entertainment business here, that is probably pretty spooky to be sure. Now, what's interesting is what is beginning to happen here. So a lot of shows are what's referred to as four-wall shows. We've talked about this before. Just a quick reminder. It used to be that casinos would back the shows that you saw at casinos. So, you know, most people look back at like the mob time. When you saw Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin or whoever, the casinos were paying that artist to do that show. And they were going to make money either on the show, or the thinking was they're going to go to the show and afterwards they're going to go dinner and drinking and gambling and they'll make money in the back end. That's the way most people did it. That has changed significantly. So what four wall is that a producer or an artist actually pays rent to the casino. And the casino basically does this. They're like, you just pay the rent and you, the producer, the talent, are completely responsible for the sales and marketing efforts, which can be unbelievably expensive. I mean, how much does a billboard here cost in Vegas? How does $10,000 a month sound, for example? So it's a big deal. But surprisingly enough, most shows on the Strip are four-wall deals. Even shows that you absolutely know and are huge successes here, for instance, Cirque du Soleil shows, are two-wall deals, meaning that Cirque is absolutely putting money in there, as is the casino. So, for example, Mirage and Cirque are paying for Love, as an example. But we're seeing casinos begin to kind of back up again, which is cool, and starting to cover the costs of shows. So if you're an entertainer guy, you're thinking this is pretty cool, and you're kind of excited and you're hopeful, oh, please, please, please let a casino pick me up and do that. Now, the challenge, I think, has always been that when I first looked at casinos before I moved here, I thought, man, these guys must be some of the best marketing guys and marketing minds in the world. Think about it. They got people coming to a desert. They must be smart. What I've discovered is that there is a certain level of laziness associated with people who work at casinos. I think they've become kind of reliant on the name of the casino itself. You know, a press release does not a marketing campaign make, for example. I really started to notice these slip-ups, these mistakes, when we moved here. So I moved here in 2005, in August of 2005. September of 2005, Wynn brought a show called Avenue Q. Now, the background of Avenue Q is pretty fascinating. It was a Broadway show. It was off-Broadway and then eventually got to Broadway in 2003. It is a hysterical show. The first thing you think about when you think about Avenue Q and you consider whether it's a play here or not is, okay, well, that's a Broadway show. Has any Broadway shows ever succeeded in Las Vegas? The answer is yes. So Mamma Mia has been here. Lion King has been here. Phantom of the Opera has been here. So they've all succeeded at different levels. Mamma Mia was huge. As I have said before in the show, Avenue Q is hysterical. It's kind of like Jim Henson's Muppets. You know, Jim has a couple drinks. He's like, you censors, you're fired. I don't care if anybody sees the puppeteers. I'm going to say what I want to say. That's basically Avenue Q. It is it was such a good show. But it's still going on, by the way, off-Broadway in New York. I saw it three times. First moved here, saw that show and went, holy Christ, this is the entertainment that I want from Vegas. This is fantastic. Saw it three times. Brought my mother-in-law from Effingham, Illinois. Brought her to go see it. By the way, there's a song called Everybody's a Little Racist. I still brought the mother-in-law. Great show. Okay, so what's the background for Wynn having Avenue Q? This was a big deal. So when Wynn said, we're going to take Avenue Q, what they also said was, first, we're going to build a brand new 1,200-seat theater for that show. What does that cost? A lot. As a result of that, we want exclusivity to the show. So as long as this show is in Las Vegas, it can be nowhere else. Okay, so they're in it. So what happens? So the show starts and, you know, it's new, it's kind of quirky. and the attendance wasn't what you would expect or what they expected. And we've been there a couple of times when, you know, there wasn't a full house for sure. And the issue, of course, is turnover. So tourist turnover. What's the average amount of time somebody or a tourist spends in Las Vegas? Back then, it was 3.5 days. It's a little bit longer now, but back then, it was 3.5 days. So if you look at something like Mamma Mia or Lion King or Phantom of the Opera, which has huge understanding in the general population, that's an easier pitch. Most people don't know what an Avenue Q is. So you'd think, okay, well, you know, let's put our head down and let's drive that home. Let's do the, you know, Jim Henson's drunk and he decides to do another version of Muppets. Of course, they couldn't do that. Although his son is doing something like that right now, from what I hear. But instead, what Steve Wynn does, Steve, who's got, you know, more money than God, he decides that what he wants to do is he goes out and he gets 20 taxis and he covers them in this orange fuzz and puts the white letter Q on it. This is a picture of the Avenue Q advertising that everybody thought was super clever. Orange fuzzy, big Q. At the top, it does say, what's all the fuzz about? Okay, well, as I've said before, the tourists have 3.5 days, and we're not going to spend any time trying to figure out what that mystery orange fuzzy thing is. We're just going to ignore it. I don't know how much money they spent on that campaign, which they bragged about and talked about, and the press thought how clever it was. I kept thinking to myself, what in the hell is that? How on earth is any... I've seen the show 3 times, and I don't know what the hell that means. If they didn't spend 6 figures on that, I don't know. Thing opens up in September. Within 9 months, that whole show, boop, gone. Okay. That's when I decided, okay, well, okay, all right. All casinos don't know everything. Look at Fast Forward Win today, Showstoppers. Now, this kind of falls under the category of just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. So I received a number of reviews about Showstopper. I talked about one. I got several more. I never went and saw the show. The concept didn't really appeal to me. But the idea was Steve went out and found a bunch of songs that he liked from Broadway shows and put his show together. And it's all the show-stopping songs from a variety of Broadway stuff. The feedback I got was it was super disconcerting. You know, imagine... you guys know the Broadway show Chorus Line, right? The finale is one, singular sensation, right? So imagine instead of that show building up to one, the very first song is one. Disconcerting. So you had that kind of, you didn't grow into the song issue, and then there were just some obscure songs that people didn't really know. So that's a problem. And clearly, Wynn put a lot of money behind it, but the question is the product itself not a good idea? This may be an Emperor Has No Clothes issue. I don't think a lot of people tell Steve, you know, Steve, I don't think this is a good idea, because he's probably going to say, out, in. The other thing that I thought was weird about Showstopper, and I thought this the moment I saw the first advertising, is the logo itself looked amateurish. It had that old-fashioned 3D kind of look to it that, you know, when you first got PowerPoint and you discovered you could do a 3D font, or you got Photoshop and, oh, I can do a 3D, I'm going to do that. And you did it too much, but you did it because you could. That's what the Showstopper logo looked like to me, and I couldn't figure out what the hell they were doing. So that show dies. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Frankie Moreno. This is a fascinating study in what can be and what can be for an artist and what can happen to an artist if the focus isn't correct. So Frankie, I became aware of him back in 2010 when he was a guest on Talk Tales, when Chris Phillips was the host. And met him, thought he was a great guy. He had just started, this is about 2010, and I think that's about when he started the Stratosphere show. He's been kicking around Vegas for a very, very long time. Golden Nugget, Paris, or he was at Pond, all over the place. But he lands this gig at Stratosphere. And by the way, this was one of the first non-four-wall deals an entertainer like Frankie had gotten in a long time. So everybody was watching the show and seeing how it would turn out. So I went and saw the show the first time and thought, holy shit, this guy has got it figured out. As a matter of fact, in the live chat, Ken's like, he's a master showman, without a question. I probably went and saw him at Stratosphere, I don't know, 8-10 times. It was my go-to show. If somebody said to me, Scott, I want to go to the quintessential Las Vegas show. Is it lost? Is it all gone? Nope. Go to Stratosphere. Stratosphere, for God's sake. You know, nobody recommends Stratosphere. But when Frankie was there, when that show first hit, everybody, you go to Stratosphere. Just, you know, stay away from Naked City. Just get your ass in there and get up there and watch that show, because it's amazing. It was super, super impressive. But then this transformation start to happen. So in the beginning, you know, those first 8 to 10 times I saw him, it was cool. It was hip. It was fun. It was entertaining. It was loose. It was great stuff. You watch this guy and go, okay, so he can play anything. He can sing. He is a frightening songwriter. Yep, arguably the most talented guy in Las Vegas. And then this transformation started to happen. It was really subtle in the beginning, and then it became a bit more apparent. So they started to slip in a little choreography. That's weird. The clothes started to change. So, you know, he used to wear the slick suit with the skinny tie, which was a perfect look for him. And now he's wearing motorcycle boots and muscle shirts. And the band gets fired. He had a huge, really impressive band. And now he's got kind of a smaller band. So it starts to change. I saw his last show at Stratosphere, and it wasn't as enjoyable as the first few shows I saw. So from a sales and marketing perspective, something was advising him, and it felt like it was going a little off track. So he leaves the Strat. And, you know, I've heard stories on both sides of why he left, and it doesn't really matter. But he leaves. And now he's out in the wild, probably taking calls from other properties. But meantime, he's at the Smith Center. Smith Center has the Reynolds Hall, which is the big Broadway thing, and he's got Cabaret Jazz, which is a 200 or so seat jazz club, best jazz club in Vegas, one of the best live music venues in Vegas. It's great. So he did a boatload of shows there, 20 or 30 shows, all new music every time, he said. He said that he learned 500-plus songs. My guess is there wasn't a whole lot of choreography, as in I bet you there wasn't a goddamn bit of choreography, because it was about the music, about the talent. He said he sold every one of those shows out. So again, you let the guy do what he does well. He does well. And then he starts touring. I saw him go to Mexico. He went to a few other places. Seems to be doing well. Doing the music. Doing what he does best. And then he gets a call, probably. Or at some point, a company called Base Entertainment and Planet Hollywood reach out to him. Now, I don't care how talented you are. You know, you get Planet Hollywood, you get a mid-strip casino who's interested, you get Base Entertainment who's interested, you got to feel pretty good. Now, what's Base Entertainment? Who are they? I've never heard of them until I started researching what was going on. Base Entertainment's done some pretty cool stuff. Million Dollar Quartet, one of my favorite shows in Las Vegas, backed by Base Entertainment. Rock of Ages, I love that show, backed by Base Entertainment. Absence, three-way partners, including Base Entertainment. So if you're Frank, you're like, holy crap. These guys have got three great shows. They want me to put me at Planet Hollywood. Fuck, I'm in, right? How would you not say that? So they built the show called Under the Influence. And he did all the right social media things. He talked about it, behind-the-scenes videos of some rehearsals, behind-the-scenes video of him getting his dressing room set up, you know, because he's kind of known for having a party-based dressing room. And he does this show. I got a chance to see the show about a week and a half into it. He did a week of previews. He did a media event. And I went the Saturday after the Wednesday media event. And here's what I thought to myself. I'm like, well, okay. There is a shitload of production. Now, I had a chance to talk to Frankie a couple days later. We talked for a while, and he said that they invested a ton of money. Now, I won't say exactly what he said. It's been reported millions of dollars were invested in this show. I completely believe it. There is no questions it was millions of dollars. But here was my impression. Remember Stratosphere beginning? Loved it. Started to get choreographed. Started to make me worried. The show at Planet Hollywood was probably 80% choreographed. 80%. What I teach people in the network and what I teach people in the co-op is there's two things people care about. Authenticity and approachability. Frankie is approachable when you allow him to be authentic. But they took away his authenticity. He couldn't be himself. You know, he's a great musician, but I'm sure he'll be the first to say he's not a great dancer. His band, listen, they can play. There's no question. Not a lot of dancing skill there. It really kind of felt like these guys were trying to be Bruno Mars. You look at Bruno Mars and his band, that Bruno Mars kid, that kid can dance. You look at that band can dance. And then I compare it to what Frankie was doing. It felt like they were doing the same thing, but it was my favorite part of the show was the first time he knocked that shit off. He sat on a piano. He just played a song that he wrote for Ray Charles, and it was stunning. Holy Christ, this guy can write. This guy can play. And I was like, well, that's what you should be doing. Who is advising this guy? So it goes on. I go back, and guess what happens? So he gets this agreement with these folks, Base Entertainment, the Planet Hollywood, and it was, as I understand, it was a four-year agreement. But there was a four-week, what's called an early out or exit clause, which means that they could say, hey, we want to get out, and you've basically got 4 weeks of warning to do that. So get this. Frankie was 2 weeks into his show, a four-year show. He was 2 weeks into it, and he gets the four-week early out notice. 2 weeks. What the fuck is that? So what that means is if you do the math, this guy, two-thirds of his time at Planet Hollywood, he knew he was leaving. Right? He was there for 6 weeks. Four of those weeks, he knew he was already gone. How the fuck do you perform knowing you've already been? When I think I saw him, which I think was right about the two-week version, he already knew he was gone. Unbelievable. So here's the WTF moment. Here's the sales and marketing stuff. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just asking the question. You have got to know when you put them in a room that big, how many tickets you have to sell to be profitable. You have to know that. When he was at Stratosphere, I'm guessing that room was about 400 seats. He didn't sell out that room every night. He did some nights, but sometimes no. And you know they occasionally papered the room. The room he was at Planet Hollywood was two times that big. I think it was 800 or 900 seats. The actual room was bigger, but they curtained off some of the back of it. So 800 or 900 seat room probably had to sell, you know, the guests is 600 a night. You now know that math, given the fact that you've invested millions of dollars. But wait, there's more. They launched this guy in the summer. Now, I like the summer in Las Vegas, but that's because I have a pool. Otherwise, you walk outside, it's 155 degrees on. You spontaneously catch on fire. It's the quiet time in Las Vegas. Not a lot of people are coming in here when they can catch on fire when they walk outside. Yet this is the time they decide to launch this show. So doesn't that mean that your total addressable market is lower? Yeah, it does. And then they take the guy out of his fucking conference or comfort zone. So if I do show up and I see this guy, it's not, he wasn't the same. Now, you could argue that, well, you don't know he's not the same. Yeah, you don't know. But he knows. He understands what's going on. Now, Ted in the live chat is telling me that they continued to negotiate to save the show. Ted, who were they negotiating with? Who was the negotiation between? I'd be interested in knowing that. Regardless, how on earth do you tell somebody 2 weeks in you're out? and not expect them to go, what the fuck? Now, here's the thing that was pretty impressive with Frankie was he was classy to the end. I saw the last show. You know, he asked me, want to come? Yeah, shit, I'll come. And I asked him, because he had given me a pretty nice seat the first time. I said, I want to be in the middle in the back so I can kind of see the show. Turned out I was right behind the lighting guy, the automation guy. So I got to watch, and damn if it wasn't right, I'm guessing 80% of that show was completely automated. I mean, I watched the light one, light five, light two camera, you know. No heart, you know. And yes, I understand that, you know, every big tour is like that, but that's not what this is. That's not the quintessential Las Vegas vibe. You know, that's not the thing that I think makes this town great. And so he lost it, but he was super classy. When he left, he didn't say a bad word about anybody. He made a couple jokes here and there, but I thought he handled it well. Guess where he is now? He's back at Cabaret Jazz. Boink. Guess what he's probably doing? He's probably doing music. Guess what he's not doing? My guess is he's probably not doing a lot of choreography. That's just my guess. The other thing about Frankie that I don't quite understand is the idea of focus. So Frankie is a Las Vegas entertainer, and he's had some exposure, some bigger exposure, but he's a Las Vegas guy. He's not famous outside of Vegas. He's famous here. He has gone off and gotten into the branded alcohol world. So he did champagne for a while, and now he's pitching really hard this vodka. Well, I don't, you know, listen, I don't understand why somebody thinks it's a good idea to say, we're going to divert your attention and have you shill vodka. By the way, he's a Crown Royal guy, and now he's shilling vodka. So anybody who does know him is like, what the fuck are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense. So now he's pitching, I'm going to be at Total Wine or at Lee's Liquor. Come on by, and we're going to play some music. Buy some of my liquor. Really? How on earth does that lift you up? By the way, speaking of Bruno Mars, Bruno Mars has a rum. It's really good. His name's not all over it, and I don't hear him pitching it, but it's really good. But it's fucking Bruno Mars. It's this level. My advice is, I don't know who is advising him, and I like him. I think he's a good guy. He's super talented, but I think he's got to stay focused, and I think that's a problem. And finally, I want to talk about a gentleman named Clint Holmes. Now, Clint, I met, again, via Talktales, actually. He and Kelly were guests when Chris was host, and then when I had Kelly take over for that, he came in, Clint came in all the time to support Kelly. It was very, very nice. Super nice guy. Unbelievably friendly. A nice word for everybody. Arguably the best lyric interpreter I've ever heard. You know, the first time I heard this guy sing, I'm like, bullshit. That's pretty good. That's pretty nifty. And his background is fascinating. Again, I don't think a lot of people know this, but you remember back in the 70s, there was a song called Playground in My Mind. It's the song that was, my name is Michael, I got a nickel, I got a nickel shiny. Remember that song? Well, that was Clint Holmes' song. Now, Clint wasn't singing the high-pitched part. He was singing the verses, but if you go back and listen to that song and listen to the verses, you'll hear a guy who's got a velvety, beautiful voice. So that's how he got kind of started, how he got famous-ish. And then he ends up being the sidekick for Joan Rivers when she had her talk show on Fox. That's pretty cool, right? Then what happens? Then he gets his own theater in Las Vegas. At Harrah's, there used to be the Clint Holmes Theater. He was there for 6 years. As a matter of fact, he commented when he heard about Frankie Moreno's deal. He's like, you know, when I first started at Harrah's, I was super concerned that they would do an early exit on me because, you know, I wasn't drawing the crowd yet. And Harrah's basically said, relax. We gotta build this. We're behind you. Just do what you do. We'll take care of the marketing. We'll take care of getting people. And, you know, 6 years later, he was, you know, hanging out at his own theater. Pretty cool stuff. Now, eventually, you know, he left Harrah's for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. Where did he end up going? This is the place where all talented people end up, apparently. It's Cabaret Jazz. When Cabaret Jazz, when the Smith Center first opened, he was one of the first artists that got attached to it. He was, you know, a resident artist there. The beginning of every month, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first Friday, Saturday, Sunday of every month, Clint would do his show. Same kind of idea that Frankie was talking about, which was every show would be different. So, you know, this will be about standards, and this will be about Paul Simon, and this will be about, you know, whatever. I saw a couple of those shows. Oof, amazing. By the way, his Christmas stuff, holy shit. Just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous music. All right. So, great news if you're Clint fans. The Palazzo and an agency, the best agency, reach out to him and say, we're going to produce a show for you. It's called Between the Lines. How cool is that, right? So, he, again, great news. People are happy. He does all the things he was, I'm sure, told to do, which is, we're going to take video of how happy you are. We're going to take video of the rehearsals. You're going to highlight video of some of your musicians, these great musicians. That's what everybody's supposed to do. He did that. So, you know, good. Sounds like a good start. Good advice. And then I had, whoa, and then we've got Ken, who said he saw Clint, and he said it was a great show. Okay, good, great. And then I got a chance to see, as everybody else did, the very first graphic for the show. And this is what it is right there. Clint Holmes Between the Lines. I want you to focus your attention on his photo. Let me help you. For those of you who don't see this, who are listening to this, let me describe the photo of him in this billboard, if you will. So imagine somebody took a picture of you and then took a razor blade and cut, oh, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 times vertically right down your face. So then they shift everything. So it has kind of, Ken mentioned it, a shattered effect. So for example, his eyes aren't on the same horizontal place. His lips aren't all together. His ear is hanging off of his head, for Christ's sake. This was their idea of a best foot forward for this particular show. Now, as I mentioned before, people in Las Vegas know him, but locals aren't going to go see him over and over again. He has to have people who are tourists go see him, like he had when he was at Harris. But if my first impression, if the best foot forward is a guy whose eyes aren't at the same level and his ear is basically been cut off, I think that's a huge miss. You can't tell that's a good-looking man. There's no way you can tell that. It's horrible. Best foot forward. So the question you have to ask here is this, as I wrap this idea up. Who is making these decisions? And more importantly, I mean, clearly the people who are paying for it are making the decision, as they should. Absolutely. If I were paying for a show, I'm damn well going to be talking about what's going to happen. But my question is this. Do the talent have a say? Did Frankie really want to do all that choreography stuff? Was that what he really wanted to do? Did Clint go, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I want to look like. I think that mass murder look is really powerful. I'm thinking not. I don't think that's what people are looking for. And I think these are the kind of mistakes that continue to sink shows that have, you know, possible potential. I will leave you with one other thought. Even great shows, I think, make mistakes. One of the favorite shows here in Las Vegas for me is Cirque's Love. We went and saw it back 4th of July with Jackie, and they made a big deal about having changed the show. It changed 70%, 75% of the show. They changed Mysterio, they changed Love, and I think one other one. What the f*** are they thinking? So what used to be an amazingly visually engrossing show now feels sparse. Heavily reliant on video, and specifically video projection on the floor, a couple interesting things, and, you know, on these things that, these sheaths that come on down. They did a little bit of that before. They really done a whole lot. The whole time I kept thinking, they're doing that because they can. It's new and it's kind of cool, but I've lost the engrossment that I felt when I first saw Love. First time I saw it, I was affected for 3 days. After that, I wasn't affected for 3 minutes. By the way, it was about 60% full as well. So even the big guys, even the best of the best, make a mistake. And it's heartbreaking to see that, quite frankly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to make a little prayer for all the casinos out there, and we'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. Rose ain't got nothing on me. All right, it's part of the show where we read your emails. If I had a co-host, they would read the woman. I don't, so I will read both. We have two emails that we're going to read today. Let's begin. Our first email is from Laura Meekin. Laura is from the UK. She participates quite a bit. Hey, Scott, and maybe a co-host. So our tickets for Coldplay, not on par with Garth Brooks, were $179 plus tax for each ticket in Section 13. As a reminder, the tickets for Garth Brooks were $65. If we had seen them in Scotland, we would have been at least $112 plus a hotel for the night in the Hamptons. Blah, yada, yada. So Vegas works out cheaper. Okay, maybe, Scott, you could help with the next couple of questions. Question number one, thinking of visiting the Atomic Testing Museum. Any good? I got to say this. This is a super interesting choice for a tourist. This is clearly indicative of a tourist who is not from the United States. Again, we only spend about 4 days here. I'm guessing Laura's going to be here a week or two. So she wants to branch out a little bit, which I think is pretty cool. So I appreciate that that question. I've never been to the Atomic Testing Museum. I've heard pretty good things about it. It's got a 4-star on Yelp. So I think if you're in the museum thing, that's a good place to go. Springs Preserve is also, I think, an outstanding museum here in Las Vegas. There's not a downside to Springs Preserve. So if I were to pick, having not been to the Atomic Museum, and I know how it ends, by the way, I'd probably go to Springs Preserve. All right. Is there such thing as a walking tour of Las Vegas or even just downtown? We did the big red bus tour last year, which was great as it helps to get your bearings. Interesting. So walking tour in 125 degrees, that sounds fun. I did a Google search and came up with several walking tours. Some were business-based where, you know, you went with somebody and they walked. And some were, here's a piece of paper, you know, God bless you, go on off there, do it. The one that I came up number one actually did have a walking tour that spoke about Fremont Street specifically. So clearly there are some opportunities there. Finally, shopping. There's a premium outlet malls. There's the premium outlet malls, plural, but there's also Town Square, which appears to advertise itself more towards locals. Which do you prefer? I don't have time to go to all three. Well, from a shopping perspective, the first thing I would say is this. You really, really should, if you're a shopper, and you're a woman, so I'm going to assume you are, you should go to probably Caesar's Forum Shop. It's the highest grossing mall in America. Some fancy, fancy things going there. If you have a significant other who is male and does not like shopping, he can drink there all day without having to hang around at Coach or whatever those other stores are. So I really like that. I think the malls at Venetian are good as well. But if we want to talk about what you care about, so premium outlets or Town Square. Town Square is just an outdoor mall. Look, there's nothing interesting or Vegas-y groovy about that. So I wouldn't go to Town Square unless you're here for, I don't know, half a year. And you really feel like you need to go, And I actually can't think of a reason to go there. On the other hand, the premium outlets, especially the one north of the Strip, you really should go to that. Now, I'm not a shopper. I hate shopping. But the premium outlets are pretty impressive. They've got some really high-end stores at, you know, good deals. There is a shitload of them. So if you want to spend some time shopping and getting good deals, that's the one to go to. There's also one in the south. It's not nearly as impressive as the one north of the Strip, right around Smith Center area. Okay, and then she finally says, oh, Scott, Brexit is horrible. It's horrific for the dollar pound. Before a vote, you'd get $12 more for every 100 pounds you would exchange. So it's horrific for them, not for us. So if people have left it until after vote to exchange holiday money and coming to America this week or next year, I get, right. Luckily, we exchanged both. Okay. So yeah, I've talked to a few people. My best friend lives in England, so we've had a couple talks about that. I think the Brexit thing is it's worse than I knew they thought it was. I don't think it will be terrible for them in the long run. There, you know, overall, the pound has dropped since that happened. It's 15% down, which isn't great. Yeah, so if I have a pension, I'm not happy. It's 15%. It's not like it dropped 25% or 50%, and it will recover. British pound is strong, and you know the worry about their communication with the EU. The EU is going to be like an ex-wife. They're going to be bitching and moaning until they want money, and then they're going to start being nice again so they get the money from the UK. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Okay, next question is from John Herman from New York City. And John writes, this may not be a living in Las Vegas topic, but you did mention it on the show. You talked about the book, The Four Agreements. To me, seems like a bit of woo-woo New Age book, and to me, you don't seem like a woo-woo kind of guy. I've never read it. How do you think it helps you, and do you think it factors in your professional success? John from New York City. Okay, so what is The Four Agreements? Four Agreements is a book written by a guy named Don Miguel Ruiz. Short book, and it is one of those books that I try to read at least once a year. So clearly I think it's a good book. Here are the four agreements. The first is be impeccable with your words. And what they mean by that is to speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Don't gossip. You know, avoid using words against other people. You know, just say nice things. Be a good guy. The second is don't take anything personally. You know, the concept here is nothing others do is because of you. You know, immune yourself to somebody else's opinions, then you don't have to suffer anymore because of what other people think of you. The third is don't make assumptions. You know, find the resources in yourself to ask questions and get clarification so you really know where you stand. And finally, always do your best. You know, no matter what you're doing, and your best won't be your best at this point versus that point, but always do your best. And the idea behind that is you'll avoid self-judgment. You'll avoid, you know, hurting yourself mentally or any kind of regrets. So do I think that helps me in my business or my personal life? Absolutely. It helps me. The real question is, do I follow that every day? Absolutely not. It's hard. I want to, I try to, but like, for example, being impeccable with your words, it's hard in this world that we live in not to, for example, listen to gossip and join in a little bit. I mean, I find myself always uncomfortable in that and trying to stay away from it, but you know, I still kind of fall into that. I've gotten better at not taking things personally. That's been a huge help. And not making assumptions actually relieves a lot of stress as well. You know, and they both are very connected with regards to worrying about kind of what other people are doing. If you just let it go, and you know, basically have the I don't give a shit what you think, you know, your opinion of me is not my problem. It is helpful, and it does what it does for your work is it just allows you to, you know, keep going and not look back and worry that other people are saying bad things or whatever. Listen, if you're not breaking ground or doing something, then, and people aren't pissing and moaning about you, then you're not working hard if you choose to break ground. I got people pissing and moaning me all the fucking time. Used to bother me. And listen, no one wants to be, you know, told that they're a bad guy, they suck or what. Nobody wants to hear. I don't want to hear that. Fuck. But if you can put yourself in a mind space where you're like, yeah, you're probably saying that shit to me because you have an issue that's not my problem. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, regardless of what anybody does, somebody has done nothing, has felt nothing as a result of it, right? There are people whose family members have been murdered and they don't react. I mean, I forgive you. So it doesn't matter what anybody does to you. Somebody out there responds with, eh. So however you respond is completely your decision. You decide if you want to get mad. What's that deal? Being mad at somebody is like taking poisoning and hoping it poisons them or something along that. It's true. If you can let that shit go, it does help. I'm a pretty high-strung guy, so it's hard sometimes. I'm a pretty aggressive and competitive guy, so it's hard sometimes. But when I allow myself in that mind space, it's pretty cool. Again, Barb asked in the live chat, the name of the book is called The Four Agreements. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. You can read it in an hour. It's a very short, little, small book. It's a cool book. I stumbled on it too. I think I was going through a stressful time and was really looking for some kind of help, you know, to get myself in a better, you know, headspace. And I stumbled upon this book. He's written a couple. He actually wrote The Fifth Agreement and I think some other things as well. The Alchemist is another book that kind of helps you get your head in a pretty cool space. All right, real quick stories. First, intro video. If you want to send us an intro video, it's super easy. Just take your camera, go in the landscape mode and say something like, hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. You can say something funny in the beginning or at the end or not at all. I don't care. But we would love to have you play along, and especially you guys in the live chat. Love to get you guys who we talk about so people can see who you are. Next up, I want to talk a little bit about podcast people. So, I mean primarily podcast audience members, listeners and viewers. Last week, I was in a meeting, and Les Vegas came by. Now, Les, who's Leslie, has been in the live chat, and she's written to us for Haddam and other things on Air Q, and she came by because she wanted to give me a gift. I want to show you what she gave me. This bottle of gin. Now, I want you to look real closely at this. Look at this. She made customized little Vegas Video Network icons to stick on the cellophane paper, and she put the little necklacey thing with the Vegas Video Network colors. In other words, she spent time customizing this bottle of gin for me. And I see this thing happening all the time, and I got to tell you, I am so awestruck by this behavior. Aaron has done those with, you know, these cards here, which I've, you know, bragged about many, many times. And I've had so many people do this. And Leslie wrote a really nice, interesting card about the gin and her looking for a house here in Las Vegas and how much she appreciated what I did. And, you know, I think... Well, I don't really know. It seems to me that the people who I've met through podcasting are just some of the nicest people I've ever met. It's interesting. When I talk to people about the network, you know, I'll occasionally have people, you know, reach out to me and say, yeah, I want to do a show. And when we talk about communicating with the audience, you know, the live chat comes up. And more times than not, people are a little concerned that, you know, somebody in the live chat will say something mean. And I've been doing this for 10 years. We've been live streaming since 2000. I've been live streaming since 2009. I've never had to ban anybody in my show. It's just never happened. And I, you know, and I get teased, and that's okay. That's part of the fun. But what I've discovered is I've not found a group of people who've been more supportive than the people who I've met through podcasting. I mean, and it's not just the gifts, it's just the nice things that have been said, you know, the support for the show, or when something is going bad, the nice comments that I don't read, but that are, you know, I don't read on air, but I read, obviously. Some my best friends, Neil and Sarah, we met through the podcast. They're in the UK. They heard our show. They came out, asked to buy us a drink. Fast forward, I don't know, 11 years later, we're best friends. You know, we email back and forth almost weekly, sometimes multiple times a week. This is a magic place. So thank you. I want to take a moment to thank the people who are watching and who are listening. And for folks who are thinking about this whole podcasting thing, I'm going to tell you what. It's pretty fucking cool what's happening here. And you're seeing this, you know, the resurrection of the podcast thing. And that's great. I hope it sticks because I understand what can happen as a result of it. It is magical. Now, she had asked me when she came by to taste this gin and to be honest, give her an honest opinion because I'm a gin guy. And this is Detroit City Gin, Detroit City Distillery. So she basically said the railroad gin sounds great. She said, tell me the truth. If it's great, she'll tell them. If it's bad, she's also going to give them shit. So I'm going to take a sippy sip sip of this. Now, she's competing against that gin we got from the Rhodes in the UK, which was fucking magical. And as a matter of fact, the Mitchells brought in some super botanical, magical gin. So we've got some good gin here at the Arches of Whitney Villa, which is being painted right now, by the way. Well, okay. Well, let me say this. It's warm, which is unfair. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That's interesting. So the fragrance was pretty good. I thought, hey, this will be easy to do on the air. I get to say good things. And then I drank it, and the drinking of it was less effective and pleasurable. And I drank it, you know, twice. There's still a little bit left. The nose, as the wine people say, was real good. So it tasted kind of not great. And then the aftertaste came, and it's not bad. So I'll give it a B. B minus. Yeah. B minus. Okay. But thank you so much for it, Leslie. I think that's very cool of you. Okay. I discovered a cool thing here in Las Vegas. Been here for 11 years. Never went to this place. Discovered it. Guess what? I'm going to share it with you. Everybody's got to go. Oh, here's where you should go. Laura, if you're here. We discovered the Super Summer Theater, which is out at Spring Mountain Ranch. So Bryce and Dalton and Melissa, our new friends Stacy and myself, got to go out there. So it's this really cool outdoor theater. We got to watch Memphis, which happens to be a terrific play anyways. We saw it at the Smith Center, the very first year the Smith Center happened. But look at this place. Look at that stage. Outdoor thing. I don't know how many people were there. Probably 500 or more. That's a big boy stage out there. The lead, Eiler, is, if you watch our show, if you watch House Seats Presents, you'll hear Eiler mentioned quite a bit on the show. He was actually on the first episode. He was the lead of this show. So it was really cool to see him. But the overall vibe was magical. You can bring your own blankets out there. You can bring your own food, your own beverages, alcoholic or not. You can be miserable and cross your arms and sit behind us, which is unfriendly, but what are you going to do? We're going back. It's $20, by the way, $20 a person. You know, there's no VIP seating. It's first come, first serve. We got there about an hour before the show, and fuck, there must have been 400 people there. So, they said that they sold out, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure if that's true. But it was awesome. So it's called the Super Summer Theater. It's at Spring Mountain Ranch. It's about 10 miles west of 215 on Charleston. So you get on Charleston and go west, young man, from 215, and it kind of does a giant loop. As you get about halfway through the loop, you'll come to Spring Mountain Ranch. Okay? All right, next up, this Friday, if you're not doing anything at 2 or 3 p.m., come to the Palms, because I'm going to be a judge at a taco eating contest, right? Why not? They invited me, and I'm like, well, who's going? Okay, I know some of those people. I'll do it. So I'm going to judge people on how fast they can eat tacos. Amateurs start at 2 o'clock, and then the professional taco eaters start at 3. So if you're into such things, come on out and root me on as the best judge ever. Okay, one quick chat question. Actually, two chat questions. First from Pops. Either takeout or delivery. If you decide to eat at home but not cook, what's the best choice? Here's the answer to that. You don't have to make a singular choice. What you do is you use either Postmates, which delivers food. What's the other one? Eats or something like that. Whatever you want. We've had deliveries from Echo and Rig, which is, you know, one of my favorite restaurants in Summerlin. It's completely up to you. That's the great thing about being in a big boy city, is that you can order whatever you want and have them, you know, sent to you. Jimmy wants to know, where do locals go to vacation? I know where I go now. So very much like East Coast people. Well, actually, the thing about Vegas that surprises most people is there aren't any great direct flights to vacation spots. So we talked briefly about us going to Cabo a couple, 3 weeks ago. You know, it's just under 3 hours flight time there, but it's not a direct flight. I can't get a direct flight there. I had to fly from Vegas to Phoenix and from Phoenix to Cabo. So there, if I want to go to Florida or to Hawaii, not a lot of direct flights. It's, you know, it's basically Vegas to LA or Vegas to San Francisco, San Francisco to Hawaii. As a result of that, there is no super easy getaway like they have on the East Coast. So you go to Jamaica sometime and see how many people are from New York or Philadelphia. Fucking all of them. And it's because they can take direct flights there, but that's not really happening in Vegas. And it hasn't been like that. And I thought it would change in the time I've been here, 11 years. It's really not changed that much. So we kind of go wherever we want to go, you know. And because the types of people here vary so much, there is no here's the place that we go. Where again on the East Coast, you know, I want to go to the Caribbean. That's a pretty big deal, partly because it's fucking cold up in New York or Philadelphia, and they want to go down there so they, you know, thaw out. We don't really have the thaw out thing, but Melissa and I are all about going to sunny pool-like places anyways. So our go-to place for sure now will be Cabo because, again, the flight time, even though we have to take two flights, is so short. Our money is so strong against the Mexican peso. And more importantly for me is I love Mexican people. Love them. I like their work ethic. I like their vibe. I like the way they talk. I like everything about them. I've not met anybody there who I've really had a problem with. And so I like being around those folks. If I wasn't so pro-American, I would absolutely consider retiring in Mexico. But that's not going to happen because, I'm pro-America. All right, let's take a drink. All righty. Time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a lounge and you try to guess what it is. Well, I'm exhausted. Pops, what might they win?
Let me tell you what you can win.
Please do.
This week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs, Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Hat'em entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners, available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney.
Yay!
Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Good.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. Well done. All right, 26 out of 27 correct answers. Let's take a look at last week's Have a Drink to remind our folks. I almost made a mistake. Oh, Scott, you silly rabbit. I forgot to tell you the good stuff. Almost forgot. How do you double or triple or quadruple the chances of perhaps getting a winning entry? Well, you get one for the correct answer. You get one if you've got a correct answer and you're in the live chat while the show is going on. If you are the very first correct answer, you get another one. Or if you send a photo or a video of yourself that includes a picture of the Gajazzathon CD or the Chris Acoustic CD, guess what? We're also going to give you another opportunity as well. Now, that's all the good stuff. Of course, you want to do that. Who wouldn't? But the real deal is this. I can turn you from a regular human into a part of the galaxy of God. There's Michael and Scott and Pinky and Bud and Alan and Aaron. Here they are when they're nude. And there is Bob and Bob's wife. There is Danny and Shan, not Chan. There's Greg and Glenn. There's Jimmy and Rob and Ken, who's moving to Hawaii. Aloha! There's Stuart and Wade. We've got a bunch more. There's Christina and Don and Jackie. There's Mike. Get down! And Pops and Sammy and Carol and a dog and Brett's dad. And your buddy Scott and your buddy Wayne. Your buddy's gotten Brett's dad and a dog, and your buddy and Wayne, and of course, there's Brett. Thank you, everybody. All right. Last week's Have a Drink on Me was this little ditty right here, and the clues were Dino's Lounge, Dino's Lounge, Dino's Lounge. And again, we had 26 out of 27 correct answers. Let's go through them, shall we? We shall. We shall overcome. A gin is still sitting right there. Go figure. All right. Our very first correct entry was from Gregor Tappa. Gregor gets one for the correct answer. Gregor gets one for the first answer. And Gregor gets another one, I believe. Yep, for being in the live chat. That's a triple. Not even working hard, he gets a triple. By the way, the time difference between the first and second was about 30 seconds. Pretty impressive. All right. Next up, Jimmy Gallagher. Jimmy 2G's, one for the correct answer. 1-4, being in the live chat. Boink. You were number two, Jimmy. Eric Hansen, what? Eric Hansen, you greedy. Third. He won last week. He tries to get in this week. No! No, Eric. No! Bad, Eric. Ken Anderson. One for the correct answer. One for deciding to move to Hawaii. He's going to be a fruit farmer, everybody. He's in the live chat as well, so we give another one. We've got Barbara Shotness. One for the correct answer. Barb is in the live chat. So she gets his double. She's doubling. Lots of doubles here, people. Tammy Mossbrucker. Glenn Santa. Dun, 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 dun. One for the correct answer. Then we've got Gary Romberg, known as Mr. Testy. I like that he's keeping that name. Tom Yu from the University of Tom. Thank you very much, Tom. Monica Fagan, one for the correct answer. She's from Chicago. And guess what? Monica's in the live chat. She's Binky. Hey, Monica. What's going on? I met Monica and Bud. She was a past winner. They were very nice. They would not wear their visor, though. It's weird. Andrew Z, a past winner from Winnipeg. One for the correct answer. Andrew from New Hampshire. It's a worldwide show in there. Erin Perry, the most talented card maker in all of the world. She's in there. Penny Gregory from Plymouth, North Carolina. In there. We've got Kevin Whip from the Canada. One in there. Robert C., also known as Rob068. He is in the live chat. Rob068, Pittsburgh. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Way to go, Rob. We've got Mikey Q. Mike Q gets one for the correct answer. And he's always in the live chat. He's a great supporter. If you want to hire Mike and you're in Vegas, he would like to talk to you. Steve I, the wise guy. Steve I is one of those guys who wins and gives it away because he's a giver. He's from Prescott, Michigan, I believe. Yeah. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Way to go, Steve. And Mike Snow, Chicago Snowman. Yep, there he is. One for the correct answer. One for the live chat. Way to go, man. Live chatters are killing it today. And Mike Lazowski, also known by his Mad Chipmunk name, which, by the way, was his name when he was a tackle for the University of what the fuck. Okay. Moving forward, we've got Shannon, also known as Neon Vacation. He says that bar is his favorite dive bar. Interesting. What is your favorite dive bar? Chet Shotness, who is not in the live chat. A great place to be the drunk of the month. Now, you have to ask yourself, Chet, were you ever the drunk of the month at Dino's? The wife who's in the live chat might have some insight into that. Mike Beattie. Mike writes, hope Brett is doing okay. Continue sending prayers his way. I'm sure he appreciates that. And Brent Barnes from Paradise, California. Thanks for the fun. You, my friend, are welcome. So we got Laura Meekin again from the UK. Laura writes, one for the correct answer. Hey, the Flintstones clue gave it away. This week's drink is Dino's Lounge. Don't have many weeks until I'm in Las Vegas on holiday, so hopefully I will win this one. I want to be a winner. Please let me be a winner. And then Alan Perry from Prescott, Arizona. Alan writes, howdy. The head-on bar this week is Dino's down by the Strap. We've driven by this place a million times, but I don't think I would be tempted to stop by for a drink at night. The neighborhood is a little sketchy. Yeah, it's that Naked City thing. Known for being a karaoke dive bar. Not especially my thing. More for everybody else, I guess. Love the clues this week, especially the Flintstone pet clue. Very cute. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Alan Perry from Prescott, Arizona. And then finally, you love him. He's my co-host when I don't have a co-host. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pops.
Hey, kids. This week's Haddam Bar wins the special
These Nuts
Award of Excellence. Why? Roll the tape, Smedley!
Dino's Lounge, located at 1516 Las Vegas Boulevard South, is a bar. It looks like a bar on the inside. It looks like a bar on the outside. It's got bar kind of beer. It's got bar kind of snacks. It's got a real pool table. Oh, it looks like it's got beer pong. It's got normal bar decorations. It's got an every night ladies night, where if you're really lucky, you can get some smoking head.
What?
That's right. It has a thon tested, and these nuts approved. This is a real bar. See ya.
Okay, so I might do C+. honest gin. It's a little rough. One for Pops for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat, and one for that very cool video. Thanks, Pops. All right, let's see what we got. Does it have a bar feel? It certainly does have a bar feel. It's because it's a bar, for God's sake. All right, here we go. What do we got? Oh, that's a winner right there. And the winner is Steve I, who wins every 3 weeks. Congratulations, Steve. Steve is likely going to be giving this away to somebody else. Steve, you're in the live chat. Do you want me to pick somebody right now else, or would you like me to email you and then have you tell me to give it to somebody else that you want me to give it to? I'll let you decide that. While we're waiting for Steve's response, we will look at our next Have a Drink on Me. Here's our next Have a Drink on Me. Oh, you want to pick another one? Okay, we'll pick another one for Steve. Stand by. Thanks, Steve. Nope. All right, Steve, who owns everything that I have. I believe he's got the second mortgage on Arches. He now the winner is Jimmy 2G's. Congratulations, Jimmy. Another opportunity, another person who doubled his pleasure because he's in the live chat. All right, Jimmy, I'll send you an email that asks whether you would like to have a visor, a CD, or a drink on your buddy Scott. By the way, Eric, your visor is coming. You leave in Canada, and it's just slower to get there, which means I have not mailed it yet. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Here is this week's Have a Drink on Me. Okay. Three clues. Clue number one. If you're a punk, Clint Eastwood might ask you if you feel this way. And number one, if you're a punk, Clint Eastwood might ask you if you feel this way. Hint number two, you're going to have to get off at the 215 to find this here place. Hint number two, you're going to have to get off over on the 215 to find this place. And hint number three, I'd say Lou Gehrig would guess that this bar could have been named after how he felt. Again, Lou Gehrig says, I would guess this bar could have been named after how he felt. Yes, if you look carefully, you might also see the name of the bar, but it's hard to see unless you're a fucking spy. All right, if you know the name of that place, you're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Our live chat is literally full of spies. It's pretty cool. All right, that's it, everybody. Hey, next week's show, we are going to have a master class in how to make a living as a Las Vegas entertainer. The guy we're going to have has done better at this than anybody I've seen in Vegas, and I've seen a lot of them. All right, voicemail. If you want to leave us a voicemail, it's super easy to do. You just go to our website. Click on the little red tab on the right-hand side of a little box will pop up. You click the green button, and because you have a microphone attached to your computer, you can leave us a voicemail. It's pretty magical, really. Hey, we're also on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We're on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with all of your friends. And plus, you'll find us on Roku, where we have 32,200-plus account installations. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google Play, and, of course, VegasVideoNetwork.com. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for playing along. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Take care. Ticket.